Blessed be the name of the one holy and living God who has come to dwell with us. Amen. Today is the first Sunday after Christmas, or of Christmas. It's the fourth day of Christmas. Remember, the 12 days of Christmas begin with Christmas Day. It doesn't end with Christmas, despite the quick turnaround that so many enact by boxing up Christmas, even beginning on Christmas afternoon. We're done. Ah, we're not done. Christmas is amongst us and with us, and we bring Christmas to the world beyond that singular day. Today, in particular, after the angels and the shepherds and all the cuteness and sweetness and silent beauty of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, today we ponder the Word, the Logos, the enfleshment of God in creation. And as we ponder and listen, we hear a lot of words. We're a wordy sort. And here are some of the words that we have just heard. Salvation, righteousness, peace, word, life, light, grace, truth, children, child of God. All of these words were repeated again and again throughout our readings and our prayers, and will be repeated in our songs today. And all of these words help to flesh out the Word and give us a sense of the yearnings, the longings of God for the whole world. Salvation, righteousness, peace, life, light, grace, truth, children, child of God, enfleshment. In an article entitled "The Politics of the Incarnation," here we go, throwing politics around in church. "The Politics of the Incarnation" by the Reverend John Allen. John Allen ponders the differences between the traditional Western perspectives of the incarnation and that of Native or Indigenous peoples. He references a book named "God is Red, A Native View of Religion" by Vinay Daloria. In his ponderings, in Allen's ponderings, he points to the very particular and down-to-earth realities of the incarnation. He says, God came to live in Galilee. The Word became flesh and lived among us. And here's what he said that I found particularly poignant. God's incarnational intention is that God's story gets lived out in recognizable ways in the world. Not only over some grand cosmic saga, but also in the ways we engage the specific broken places in our communities, and even in the forgettable interactions we have with our neighbors. God's incarnational intention gets lived out in the ways that we engage in specific broken places in our communities and in the interactions we have with our neighbors. God's incarnational intention is that the faithful, that would be you and me, enact our hope in liturgy and protest, that we embody God's justice, that we embody God's love in the world, not just by speaking it, but by living it out. Not through testing philosophical edicts against the long arc of history, but by showing up in the world as the people we are to make God into flesh once again. Engaging, embodying, showing up, enfleshing God in the world. God's incarnational intentions. Howard Thurman wrote some many years ago, one of my favorite sort of Christmas statements. He said, "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, to make music in the heart. We've only just begun, as the song goes. Christmas has just started. In Christmas, we have a new creation. So often we associate that with Easter and we need it. Apparently we need it like every year, multiple times a year, and again and again and again in our lives. But Christmas, and particularly on this day, we are reminded of the new creation that we have in the birth of this child, God, Jesus, as the elf said on Christmas Eve at the 4 o'clock service. This child, God, Jesus character who comes in human flesh. Not 2,000 years ago, but continues to come amongst us and dwell in our flesh and in the flesh that we encounter in the world. The incarnation, the enfleshment of God with us changes the way that we engage with one another because God dwells in the other, in all whom we meet, in the flesh, the people who we sit next to, the people we want to avoid, the people who live in their vans on the street, the people who speak English differently than we do, or speak another language, or have a different color of skin, or come from something different. God dwells in each and all of us. God coming into the human flesh makes life sacramental. Grace and truth are made full and present in others and in us. We are given a charge. We are filled with that grace and truth to be that grace and truth, that Word made flesh. It is serious business, this Christmas thing. And we, the usual suspects who are here on the first Sunday after Christmas in particular, are given a high calling. And we must lean on one another to live this out, to lean into what it means to be God enfleshed in the world, Christ's body, you and I, in the world, bringing grace and truth and righteousness and salvation and life and light as the children of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And now the Word is God, dwelling here and now in the world. May we be so emboldened and empowered to clothe ourselves with that righteousness and that salvation, to be so filled with God's grace and God's truth, that we may go to the world with open hands and open hearts, sharing all that we have with a world that is still in darkness and needs light and love, enfleshed, embodied, incarnate in the world now. Blessed be the name of the one holy and living God who dwells in us and amongst us in the world today.